Hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Troy Brewer here, and welcome to Experiencing Real Life. And you are visiting us at the studios in Big Time Bartleson, Texas, Open Door Church. And I have a very good friend of mine today, Brother Byron Easterling. What's going on? Go ahead and shake my hand just because it's cool to do that. Welcome, man. I call you blessed, you. And I'm looking forward to our talk today. You and I have known each other for... Well, I saw you at the 10-year prison reunion.
Well,
that was good.
I saw you. It was so good to see
I was
you
surprised
there.
That you
It's so good to see you there.
Actually,
I was kind of amazed, you know. So
I actually met you in Vacaville, California.
You did.
They say Vacaville out there, right on, which I'm sure is the right way to say things because everybody knows I don't talk right. I had this great speech impediment called a hillbilly accent. But I met you out in Vacaville, California. You were part of the staff of Dave Crone's church out there, and part of Graham Cook's team. And what was that all about? What in the world were you doing out there?
Well, for 2003, a bunch of us moved out there. Just God was really moving on our hearts to move out to the mission. Okay. Yeah, so a bunch of us moved out there in 2003, and God was really, just really, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I love that accent. God was doing something in really looking at church from a different angle and from a different viewpoint, and maybe just looking at leadership on how we led as a team. And really, Graham and I were there, but not officially on staff, but a part of leadership. A number of people were like that, had ministries already that we were involved, and people were coming in from everywhere checking us out. It was a very cool season.
You know, I went out there. When I first went out there, I didn't go out there because I was a church builder. I went out there because I was playing in a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
And we were going out there to do Spirit West Coast.
Yeah, sure.
You know, right across
from us.
And I went out there, and I had a very good friend of mine named Phil David Lloyd. And Phil took me out there. We went out there to go to do Spirit West Coast. And then they wouldn't let me do it. They wouldn't let me on stage one because I was fat. I'm not kidding you. And I really was fat. I mean, I used to, you know, sit around a table all by myself. I used to wear white pants, and we'd show movies on that in the summer. And I shut down all the drive-in movies around here. But honestly, so it was a horrible week for me.
It was like a really bad week
because we had actually been working. We were going to do a showcase out there,
and it
was a big showcase for a label, and we were actually going to have several different labels there. And the guy wouldn't let me on first stage. He just was like, dude. I like your songs. I like the stuff you do, and you look like a freight train hit you, you know. And it was just bad. Listen, for all of our radio listeners, I don't know if you guys know what I look like, but I'm like 6'8". I have chiseled features. I'm extremely buff. But for some reason, the guy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay, I actually kind of look like Danny DeVito, but that's okay. So, I have a smoking hot wife, which is amazing. Okay, so anyway, I was very, very disappointed and like, wow, I just don't know. I have no idea what the heck is going on. And I was like, wow. And so, we left there and he said, well, I want us to go out to Vacaville, California. There's an old friend of mine named Graham Cook that's out there.
Yeah.
And he had actually done a lot of ministry with Graham in Southampton, England.
Sure.
And he was part of that whole Southampton thing.
Well, CNET, that's how we met. We were a part of CNET as well. Yeah. So that's where Phil, he was a good man, wasn't he?
He was. He was drop-dead
awesome
cool.
Yeah.
He actually died a year ago my Facebook came up yesterday, and there was a picture from him. And then I found a year ago this week, I was in Curacao. You know about the island Curacao?
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Curacao, and he called me, and we talked for like an hour and a half a year ago this week. And it cost me like $500, by the way. My wife was so mad. She's like, we got this $500 phone bill. And it's actually the best $500 I ever spent because that was the last time I ever spoke to him. And he's since gone on to be with the Lord. But we went to Vacaville, and I want to just tell you, man, the reason why I was really busting back into music again was because I was so done with church. I can't tell you how done I was with church. At that time, I had been pastoring this church, Open Door, for about I would say probably, I don't remember how many years ago this was when I first met you guys. I'm thinking it's around 2008, maybe.
Okay.
Does that sound about right?
7 or 8. Yeah, somewhere in
so
there.
So maybe 7 or 8. And so I was done. I had no hope for anything here at Open Door. I just didn't.
Yeah.
And I was, of course, a very reluctant pastor. I wouldn't even let people call me pastor. I just thought somebody smart was going to show up, and then we'd turn the church over to him. But I've since found out smart people do not sign up for church leadership. Okay. I've learned that. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense. But, I was very reluctant, you know, because, Byron, we were born Breach, you know. I know that surprises you that we were born Breach. We started off as a food outreach, and then we started church.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of a church, that started doing food outreach. And so, man, I was just done, and I really had no hope for – I didn't really see a place where I belonged in the body of Christ as far as a church leader goes. And God intercepted me, and then, you know, we call God Jehovah Sneaky, right? You know, because he doesn't tell you everything he's signing up for. He's really smart. And I ended up in Vacaville, and I walked in the door, literally walked through the front door, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak a sentence to me. And I mean, it was just like somebody was standing there, and I don't know if this thing I heard was from the inside or from the outside. I just knew it was Jesus, and I heard God say, "You are home."
Wow.
Dude, look, I'm from Johnson County, Texas. I'm a sixth generation Texan, okay? And I'm like, what do you mean I'm home? Like, God, are you on crack? Like, I'm obviously not home, but I was like, wow. And then I just sat and I started bawling and squalling and just, you know, I began to immediately go into personal revival. And immediately after the service, Graham and you guys and a bunch of other people invited me backstage, and I remember you guys and that was really the first time I met you guys, y'all were so good to me. And I remember Graham said, "You're of this tribe,"
right?
And it was the first time I had ever. Well, then he gave me a book, and the book that Graham gave me was, gosh, what is that book called? It has to do with church. It's
Divine
a book.
Confrontation.
Oh my gosh, that's it, dude.
You are the guy that got it.
I am the guy who got the book, The Divine Confrontation. And I want to tell you, it was the catalyst that God used to literally change everything that I thought about about what church could possibly be.
Yeah.
And so now all things that are Open Door, you know, I mean, all the stuff that we're doing all over the world, it literally started that week that I met you there.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's still going on.
And that book is incredible. I mean, it's a challenger, man. It will challenge you.
I don't know how you can read that without getting mad and happy all at the same time.
But then that's Graham.
That's what he likes to do.
That's exactly right.
I would read some of it, and I would get so mad. And I would just think, wow, it totally messes with your head. So it's a movie. I actually view it as a movie in my head. It has such a profound effect on me. But the book is called A Divine Confrontation. And one of the big keys was he talked about the different paradigms between a functional church and a relational church.
Right. Right.
That changed the world for me. Right. I mean, it changed everything.
It's what I call my bus, our bus.
Wow. Tell me about that.
Yeah, yeah. So my bus, our bus is something. I had a dream. In fact, I was living here in Texas. We were living in the Fort Worth side out in Parker County, out in the country. And we had a nice house out in a few acres, you know, Texas countryside. And we had a wraparound porch. And, you know, my wife and I, we'd sit out on the porch in the evenings, you know, when it wasn't 110. And by the way, I don't miss that.
Yeah, I bet.
But in the dream, we're actually sitting at the front door, and we have circle drive, and a van pulls in. And the van pulls in, and a good friend gets out of the van and comes and sits with my wife. She's a good friend of my wife's. And the back door slides open, and it's dark. You can't see, right? And I knew who was in there, and I called out his name. And I called it out twice. And the third time, I was angry. And I just shouted his name, and he leans forward and he says, "We're walking similar paths on the opposite side of the fence." And I woke up, and the Lord gave me these words: "My bus, our bus." For functional, most of us grew up in a functional society in the church. Mm-hmm. That is, we go with that vision it's that person's vision, only vision. And it's like that vision alone. And if we're not on tag with that vision, then we don't have a place. We don't fit in.
That's exactly right.
And so, but what God's doing is that's a my bus mentality. So even leaders, a lot of them have grown up and they haven't learned how to create and develop their own.
Yes.
Involved.
Yes.
Visions where it allows other people to get inside. You know,
come on.
So you know, because it was, they were so focused on serving somebody else, they couldn't get inside.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They couldn't get inside. They could only be on the outside, peripherals, adding in whatever they had. So when they became leaders, they were stunted almost.
Yes.
On vision, and especially in this day and age, a need to bring others into that. And I'm not saying because of a people without a vision perish. I mean, that's just as plain as day. Our bus. So this is what my image was with this. My bus is that you get on the bus, you do what they say, you join. But if your function ends, you no longer have a place. And you find yourself sitting on the side of the road.
That's right.
Dusting yourself off.
That's it.
Dusting your backside off, going, what happened?
Okay, you know what? Listen, my friends, you are listening to Troy Brewer and to the amazing Byron Easterling, and we're in the studios here at Open Door Church. And guys, we are talking about church leadership and what it actually can be, and we'll be right back with you in just a few minutes. Well, hello, everybody. Troy Brewer. We're back here in a stupio, which is profoundly prophetic. Welcome back to what used to be the studio, but just because of the way we're acting, we're calling it the stupio today. Guys, I want to bless you and call you blessed. So welcome, guys, to Experiencing Real Life. And I'm in here with Byron Easterling, and we're talking about church leadership. And the last thing we were talking about, we're unpacking the idea of my bus, our bus. And let me tell you what that has meant for me in me being the senior leader. Yeah, okay, yeah. What I have discovered is that my main role is to be the architect of the culture of the house.
Wow. Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
okay, that's my main role. And I have, you know, it's like, okay, we have hundreds of people that's in leadership at Open Door. Our church is not like a big monster, incredible church or whatever, but there's around 5,000 people now. Okay. That's in rotation here at Open Door, and we're doing missions all over the world and doing crazy stuff. And I mean, you know how crazy we are about outreach and actually getting outside of the four walls of the church. Okay, so we have hundreds of people that's in leadership position. I have a paid staff of somewhere around 30 people, something like that. And so everybody brings a different mix. Everybody brings something different, right?
Exactly.
And that's great. That's great. And that does not threaten me. It doesn't threaten me at all. So it is something that I have to foster here constantly, is that my main responsibility is not to be the most awesome preacher here, which I am, by the way. I don't know if you, I promise you.
You're humble, but accurate opinion.
Yes. And that's about what I'm about to say. What I lack in, you know, education, I make up for in humility.
Yes.
So anyway, but just like that, okay, like we have a culture here where it's cool to be funny.
Right.
Okay. We love anything that is life-giving. So we don't take ourselves real seriously, but man, we take the kingdom so serious. Yeah. Knowing what to make a big deal out of and what not to make a big deal out of is how cultures are formed and how they're based. And so it's all about the values and principles. I have 16 core values and principles, and that's what it is that I'm always touting. And I'm not touting methods. Because the methods are not transferable.
Right.
Exactly. They're not transferable, but the values and the principles are transferable.
Right.
So for me, one of the things I tell everybody, like my number one thing is unity makes us a conduit for God's power. Unity does not mean you look like me, you act like me, and you do exactly what I do.
Exactly.
That is not unity.
Yeah.
But you know, the way I explain it, Byron, is I tell everybody, look, I am married to Leanna. And we have so much unity, but we very rarely have agreement.
Yeah.
Because that woman is whack. My house looks like a Mexican restaurant, okay? It's green and yellow, and it's crazy because, you know, she's from California, right? So she's all about California stuff. This brother, listen, I promise you, we're not in perfect agreement. Yeah. But, dude, we're in perfect unity.
Unity, right.
And so unity is actually a higher covenant than even agreement is.
Yeah, wow.
You agree? Wow. Well, could you get past that and bust up into
I caught that.
You tried to stop it.
I did, but
it didn't work. So getting back to the thing that you was talking about. If I bring, like, we just moved some people from Eustis, Florida, which, hello, Eustis, Florida, call you blessed. Hello, Tampa Bay. Hello, The Village.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm in The Villages. I'm on there 4 times a day. Can you believe those poor people have to listen to me 4 times a day? Anyway, I bless you guys. But we just moved a couple here, and they are our children's church pastors. They're amazing people. Dude, they're not like me. Now, they're of the same tribe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're of the same tribe, man. Their heart beats the same way I do. Right. But their methods are, bring your methods. Bring all this. I'm going to define the results that I'm looking for, the direction where it is we're headed, and I'm defining the culture. Right. But I'm not defining you. This is your vision for your stuff is your vision.
Right. Exactly. How it gets fulfilled is on your...
That's exactly
it's
right.
giving them leadership opportunity.
I hate anything that has to do with lack of freedom. I'm a freedom fanatic.
Huh.
I mean, I am. And I'm like, so it's one of the things I tell all my crew is, listen, if you have to be micromanaged, you're not going to make it here, because I'm not micromanaging anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say, this is the culture we're working in. These are the goals we're looking for. And this is the way we're headed. And this is the direction we're headed there. Now, you bring the way for that to happen in your neck of the woods.
Right, right. And in a corporate situation, it's just what God's doing. He's doing so much of that right now. And so to give that freedom away it's so life-giving. And that's what you guys are about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So those people are tagging into your values. They're tagging into your principles. And they're joining in on that. And they're going, wow. And those are concentric circles, right? Because they're going to have ones that don't connect with you exactly.
Yes.
But it's the ones that do. And that's their non-concentric circle parts. They're ones that don't exactly connect. Actually... are the part that's going to give it dimension.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, and, so look, I love those layers. I love those layers, and I love the dimensions. So people will come here and they're like, you know, we do a 101, 201, 301, 401, which is a model from Saddleback of how people actually join the church and all that. And I just tell you, to me, I'm just like, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. I'm not about that. But everybody doesn't think like me. Everybody want to know, hey, is there a time I sign up? Well, look, you can see the prayer wall right there. That's how people sign up.
Oh,
okay, they literally write their name on a wall here, and we pray over all those people.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so anyway, whenever I ask people at the 101 and the 201 class or whatever, and say, "What is it, you know, that brought you here, and what do you like about this church?" While they all say the same thing, they're all saying something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They like the values and the principles and the thing that really demonstrates the heart of Jesus. That's the tribe. But how it's demonstrated is different all the way through the church.
The exactly.
And I love that, man.
Yes. That's what brings dimension. You know, one time I looked at a 3-level chess game. I didn't attempt it because I wouldn't have the clue.
Yeah, me neither.
First game.
It just gives me a headache thinking about
it. Watch it and to watch the moves that they were making and the dimensions of this game. And it created this space and understanding. And what we were walking into this season. This is where we are as a body of Christ. And it's that freedom to step in if you want to.
Wow. Yeah, there's somebody else that's lurking in our studio right now. And by the way, who are you, by the way?
Ron Martin.
Guys, this is Ron Martin.
From Springfield, Missouri.
Are you really from Springfield?
I am.
Wow, man.
Don't hold
it
against me.
What are you doing down here?
I'm visiting up with Byron and visiting up with a marketing strategist I think you know pretty well.
I do. Yeah, the marketing chef. We all call him 007 is what we call him. The whole staff's like, is 007 around here? Because he's
like
this good-looking British guy, and he's got this really cool British accent that he has held on to, even though he's been living here for 20-something
years.
He's done that on purpose because he knows it works for him. Anyway, so what would you like to add to this? Do you have anything brilliant? And if not, you can remain
brilliant
quiet.
Brilliant to add at this particular moment.
And now you can sit there and be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I actually turn around and not face the corner from the rest of this?
Yes, you can.
Well, I've already lost track of the topic, so I'll let you keep going.
Well, you just go ahead and sit there then. All right, so we're talking about
the nice corn back here.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and use this as an opportunity to take another break right here. Guys, look, you're listening to the madness that is the studio at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. with my very good friend Byron. And Byron Easterling, how in the world can people find you, by the way?
ByronEasterling.com.
ByronEasterling.com. And also, too, we have, what's your name again?
Ron Martin.
Okay, Ron is here. And we have no idea what he's going to contribute. But hey, we'll be right back here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, hello, my friends. We're back here in the studio at Open Door Church in Big Time Bartleson, Texas. And we're talking about church leadership. We're talking about the challenges of doing things in a way that looks more like heaven than it looks like hell when it comes to church leadership. And that's one of the things I talk about all the time is in heaven, you know, God Almighty says, before his throne is every nation, kindred, and tongue. And the word tongue doesn't just mean language. It actually means accent. Right on. So, God, so in the kingdom, there is a value for the uniqueness of individuals.
Yeah.
But sadly, in the body of Christ, it's like, nope, you got to look a certain way. You got to act a certain way. You got to step in line with this, whatever this is. And guys, I want to just say this to you. There's nothing wrong with whatever this is. What's wrong is when you call it God. Okay? There's nothing wrong with whatever methods people want to use. If they want to go to church on Saturdays or Sundays, if they want to do 5-minute church services or 5-hour church services, if they want to do 10,000 songs or they want to do 2 hymns, if you want to wear a tie, if you don't wear a tie, if it's, you know, if you can have tattoos and go with girls that do, or if you can't, right? There's nothing wrong with whatever you choose to say, no, this is how we want to worship. This is what we want to put an emphasis on. What's wrong is when you call that God.
Right.
Because it ain't God. It's a method. Yeah. And what's real is, in the kingdom, the Lord, there's so many different layers to personalities and the way people do things and the way people see God and the way people express the nature and the heart of King Jesus. There's so many different testimonies. And for us to stifle all that and say everything has to look like the senior pastor doesn't work.
Mm. Yeah. Or as you mentioned earlier, our wives. Now, my wife and I are like you and Leanna. We're just so opposites of each other.
Me too.
And we get things done so radically different.
Yes.
I just had this thought. I wanted to take a sidebar and talk about marrying up.
Okay.
Because there's something about the joy and pain of marrying up. And I don't know exactly why I'm going here.
Nope, I've already got it.
And
I'm on it.
And I just feel like, you know, the Lord had one time showed me this picture of me when I was single. And there was a flashing neon sign above my head. And the flashing neon sign said, help me, help me. And it flashed. And Crystal came along and she saw that sign and said, oh. I could help that fool, and she has, and yet it's so radically different than what I would have chosen personally, and I think even back to the church, sometimes we go into a church or a place, and it's like we're so expectant of one thing, and God just moves in a different way, and creates so much more depth than what we ever imagined.
That is. Awesome analogy. Okay, so a bunch of friends of mine just came on staff here. Like we brought a guy in as our youth pastor. I've already mentioned we brought in a new team in order to take over our children's church as pastors. We just hired another pastoral person. I actually have a pastoral staff now, 9 people, and they're such rock stars.
Oh, cool.
And I call them the dream team. I'm like, guys, this is a dream team, man.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that they all mention. They've all been in, between all 9 of us pastors, there's 240 years worth of ministry there, right?
Whoa.
And everybody just says, man, we have never been a part of anything like this before. We've never been a part. It's so radically different than how we've done church before. Okay, well, that's a great way to say, dude, you just married up.
Yeah.
And now there's challenges with that.
That's right.
Because what's real is a lot of the paradigms and a lot of the mindsets and the way that you think doesn't work in this.
Yeah.
In union with this new thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I love that.
That paradox of God that
yes.
we can live within both places, and we're moving into a new season in the church. And that's why so many, you know, there's a study that I believe it was Barna did that there's over right now 30 million people who are called de-churched. And they're not angry at the church. They love the Lord. They love the body of Christ.
Yes.
They just don't feel like they fit
there's,
right now.
There's no place for them.
Yeah. But they want to, it's not like they're trying to separate themselves themselves out.
Yep.
But they feel like there's no fit for them right now, and it's that authenticity. It's that place of real. It's that place of just saying, I need to be real with my faith. I need to be real with Jesus. I can't just follow a pattern anymore. It won't work for me. Yeah.
Byron, I want to tell you something, man. You are talking to potentially millions of those people right now. The people that I connect with all over the United States on 50 some odd stations every single day are people who are so de-churched.
Yeah.
Can you just speak into their lives? And would you just take a few minutes and just speak?
This is so on my heart because this is, to me...
2 minutes.
To me, this is actually a move of God.
It is.
And he's pulling people out of the church to cause them to realize, and here's why. I believe there's a study done. They're called Cultural Creatives, Wikipedia, Cultural Creatives. Over 220 million, 35% and growing of our population in the U.S. and Europe who do not know the Lord are hungry for these things, authenticity and spirituality.
Wow.
But they won't come in a building. They won't come in a synagogue, a church building, a whatever. If you do the numbers, 30 million, 220, that's 1 in 7.
Wow.
That's a relational dynamic that we can reach. I can reach 1 in 7. I can't reach 220 million, but I can reach 1 in 7. And I believe God's doing this right now for a really strong proof. I believe it's a move of God on the earth.
My friends, you are listening to my good friend Byron Easterling. And listen, you can find him at byroneasterling.com. And also, too, listen, we just have about 20 seconds left here. And I want to remind you that you can go to troybrewer.tv and you can find a whole bunch of filming that we're going to be actually doing videos today on the same exact subjects. And in the meantime, guys, be sure and go to troybrewer.com. I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. God bless you.